Welcome to the Supply Chain Talks podcast. My name is Sophie Fillon-Enck. In season two of this podcast, we will dive into the world of sustainable container supply chains. As decision makers, cargo owners, and freight forwarders play a key role in boosting sustainability in the logistics chain. But how do you build a CO2 neutral and at the same time resilient supply chain? And what are the possibilities and standout examples that exist today? The concept reduce, replace, rethink can be used as a strategy to decarbonize your supply chain. Each episode, I will discuss one of these three concepts with container industry experts. I'm ready to explore the possibilities, so join me on this journey and we will learn something together. This episode, I'll be diving into the concept of reduce with APM Terminals and Portbase, the port community system for the Dutch ports. Together with Donald Baan and Mara Vroon, I will explore how you can reduce waste in your supply chain through digitization and end-to-end visibility. Welcome to this episode, Mara and Donald. Good to see you. Donald, maybe you can start by introducing yourself and tell us what it is that you do at Portbase.
Sure. At Portbase, I work at the business development, marketing and sales department. So we try to figure out new possible digital solutions for our community and also try to make sure that everybody uses it in the correct way. Mm-hmm. And I have a previous history at the Port Authority, but also at a container shipping line.
Okay, so you're Rotterdam through and through.
That's it, yeah, exactly.
And why are you so passionate about digitizing the port?
Well, I think digitizing the port is all about figuring new ways of working together. Mm-hmm. Right? And I really love to tackle huge problems, but not single-handedly, but it has to be a joint effort. And the cooperation in the community is really what thrives me.
Absolutely. Oh, great. Well, then I'm glad that we're all talking together because indeed we cannot establish these big changes on our own. Mara, I'm sure you agree. Can you maybe introduce yourself and tell us a little bit more about APM Terminals?
Yes, of course. I am the head of commerce for APM Terminals Maasvlakte 2 here in Rotterdam. Have been working there since 10 years. And for us, it's all about collaboration with the different supply chain partners to ensure that together we can have a smooth connection between the world and the European hinterland.
Yeah, absolutely. And then APM, so you work here in Rotterdam, but there's APMs all over the world, right?
Yes, correct. So we have 64 terminals spread around the globe at all different types of locations. Here in Rotterdam, it's really a strategic location into the European hinterland.
Well, it's really great to have you here. A lot of experience at the table, so let's dive right in. Mara, you already mentioned the hinterland. What role does APM play in terms of the shippers and the forwarders towards this hinterland?
Yeah, so as APM Terminals, it is really our ambition, so our dream to improve lives by integrating the world. And in that part, we are a key player. Mm. How do we do that? We want to be the most modern gateway into Europe by delivering a fast, safe, and reliable connection for all the hinterland parties that we have here. Mm-hmm. And that also in an innovative and a sustainable way.
Right. So cargo arrives here in Rotterdam. It lands at your terminal. And then what happens? How do you do that?
Yeah, so for APM Terminals Maasvlakte 2, we have an automated setup. In that automated setup, it is very important that we get the right information at the right time. Towards the hinterland, we are partnering with Portbase to get that information in time. So specifically on our side, we have barge operators, rail operators, and truck operators that are of huge importance. Mm-hmm. We get big vessels alongside, discharging and loading huge amounts of containers at the same time. So for example, last week, we discharged the Manila Maersk with 10,151 moves, then it's really important that those containers get to flow out of the terminal in a seamless way. Mm-hmm. So we need to know, where do the containers go? Where can we position them right in the yard to avoid congestion? And that information is what we get via PortBase. So therefore, a crucial partner for us.
So how does that work? So you're talking about this very specific vessel last week. When does PortBase come into play when there's a big ship coming in like that? How does that go?
For example, that's a nice example, right? The ship coming in. So the vessel arrival and the notification that the vessel will arrive to Rotterdam in this case is handled via PortBase. So the shipping line, they notify the arrival to the harbor master, but also notify the arrival of the cargo to the customs. So everybody is aware that the cargo and the ship are coming to Rotterdam.
Mm-hmm.
And we exchange that information, but also make sure that updates on that information are provided to companies further along in the supply chain.
And all that information is freely available. That's not classified, or everybody's willing to share all of that.
Well, it's not public data, because it's also sensitive data. Could be commercially sensitive, but also from a risk perspective, sensitive data. So we have, not everybody is publicly allowed to use the data. You have to be a member of a PortBase, and you are screened as a company, as a user, before you can actually access the data that you're authorized to.
Mm-hmm. Okay, right. So then you start exchanging this data so that you can ship this, that you can deal with this cargo as quickly and as swiftly as possible. Yeah.
Yes, correct. So for example, we know before the container is discharged how it is going to go out of the terminal. And then in our yard, the location where we store the containers, we already store the containers that need to go on the train in the train stacks that are close to the rail terminal.
Mm-hmm.
Same accounts for barge, and the same accounts for truck.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very vivid image this way. So that's cool. PortBase has been operating for 20 years, digitizing the port's logistics. So DNA, digital is in your DNA,
yeah. But
it's not status quo. It's continuously developing.
It is, and probably it's best linked with your personal life, right? 20 years ago, mobile phone was nothing, was nowhere to be found. And step by step, more processes or information gets available digital.
Right.
So what we saw 20 years ago is there's a lot of paper flow, paper documents and stamps on the papers before cargo was able to move through.
Mm.
And now we have, together with the community, digitized the core processes or the paper flows.
Yeah.
In the port. So we made a huge step there. But I think it's a continuous improvement on this way, because not only in the port, but also further along in the supply chain, all the way towards the hinterland, we help to digitize processes and make sure that the data can flow.
Yeah, because just replacing paper with data, of course, has been, a huge step in efficiency, but where it's really going to prove to be an extra added value, and I think you're already experiencing that, is when you start using the data to actually work for you, and then it becomes way more than just a replacement of paper.
Exactly. Yeah, we saw the first step was from paper to digital, and now from digital to optimal. So you want to really use the data to optimize the processes.
Yeah.
And this is the phase we are getting into now.
Yeah. How do you experience that, Mara?
Yeah, so it's the data, of course, itself that is more easily shared, and that makes the collaboration between partners a lot easier. Besides that, the data also generates like a data set, which is very useful for improving certain processes.
And of course, we're talking about digital also through the lens of sustainability. And this is also where it gets real interesting, because you can really make big steps in reducing the footprint of your customers, but also your own footprint. Can you say that you're seeing development there as well?
For example, in that regard, I think it's good to link it also to the time that the container is at the terminal. Previously, it took quite a while before it was even known within the rest of the supply chain that the container arrived at the terminal. Also, by this digitization and by sharing that data, the container can depart from the terminal earlier, and therefore the whole lead time in the end will be less.
Yeah. Yeah, so that really, and how does that link to sustainability?
So by having a shorter lead time for the whole process, you can reuse the whole equipment again in a faster way, so you need less in the end.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. I even read that APM Terminals made a commitment to be fully net zero by 2040. With these types of developments, I'm sure that it's helpful. But how are you looking at reaching that goal?
Definitely, yeah. So it's a very ambitious target. On all levels within the company, you see that this is really what it is about, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have the ambition to reduce to 70% to 2030, and then, like you said, Sophie, to be completely neutral by 2040. If I look here at Maasvlakte 2, we started this terminal 10 years ago, we developed it 15 years ago, and back then we already had this goal in mind.
Mm-hmm.
So here on the Maasvlakte, we were able to develop it already with that in the back of our minds,
mm-hmm.
Which means that at this moment we have a facility which is fully running on electric equipment. At this moment, here in Rotterdam, we are already net zero. So
yeah.
The CO2 emission per TEU is like 0.0001 or something. So the investments that we do here in Rotterdam are quite small compared to the rest of the world. So, for example, we are investing in 6 new electric terminal trucks. If you look at the different parts in the world, we are looking at investments that are much, much bigger. It's the cranes that we need to electrify. It's when we're building new facilities, it's already in the concept as of the beginning, so that makes it a bit easier.
Yeah, but you also have a lot of legacy equipment probably that still operates in the old way. And there's not a port base everywhere. That probably also makes a difference.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah. Are you looking at branching out, Donald?
No, although we get a lot of requests. But I think the key success factor for Port Base was that we developed it for together with and by the community.
Mm.
So it's a complete integrated approach together with the community, because we learned from previous experience that it's not so much about the technology, but it's much more about the willingness to cooperate and the understanding of each other's challenges. And the added value of cooperation.
Mm-hmm.
And that I think more than 50% of our time the last 20 years was spent on talking with the community, discussing the processes, really defining how this should work and figuring out the solution together.
Mm-hmm.
So that cannot be underestimated how much value that has. And also you see in other ports that for port base is very difficult in other, ports where we don't know the people, we don't speak the language, we don't know the culture. Before you can actually be successful as a Dutch company in those kind of settings, we rather focus on the Dutch ports and make sure that we get stronger and stronger. And
maybe also share your experience.
Exactly,
other
this is it. Yeah.
Port bases can emerge in their own countries. Yeah, and especially since you're sharing this sometimes very sensitive data, as you said, trust is a very important basis. That's the foundation,
it
really.
Is. Yeah. Yeah, it's the key element of, if you want to share data together, you have to trust each other. And trust is good by sitting together, but it's also good that you can really secure the trust also on a technology level. So that's why we have a very strict, and that's what they call identity and access management. We really know who's on the platform and who has what rights to the data, and we monitor it very strictly. But we also enable the data owners on our platform to have a say in who they want to share it with. So they have control over their own data.
Yeah.
And that's a very important element of our success.
Yeah. How does that work for you at APM? Because I think shippers and freight forwarders, they sort of let you handle their cargo. But what happens exactly is a little bit of a black box for them, maybe. How do you provide insight for them as to how you operate and how you use that data, for instance? And
So for us, we have a web portal in which this is visible. So at any given time, you can actually check what happens to
where's my
container.
Stuff? Yeah.
Where's my stuff? Exactly. Where is the vessel that it is on? Has it already been discharged? Is often the most important question. A vessel is in the port for quite a long time, depending on how many containers it's loading or discharging. So is it discharged on hour one or on hour 48? Mm-hmm. The difference is like 2 days. So
right. And you try to make that as quickly and as efficient as possible.
Exactly. But, yeah. Exactly. To enable also a smooth process throughout the terminal and throughout the supply chain.
So efficiency and sustainability, as you so eloquently explained, really go hand in hand, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And digitization is kind of the accelerator for that, because that's the way you enable these things going hand in hand. How do you help shippers and forwarders in doing this?
So, well, way back when we started was really about data around the vessel and the customs and the harbor master, really core port processes, but that generated so much data also about the cargo and the vessel arrival, what Mara mentions, that there was a lot of demand for that data further along in the supply chain at shippers and forwarders. So together with the community, we developed certain services that facilitated track and trace information from all port operators and the shipping lines.
Mm-hmm.
Our service for the import cargo is called Cargo Controller, which bundles actually all kinds of information about the cargo, shipment details and status updates for the shippers who have cargo via Port of Rotterdam.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, APMT Maasvlakte 2, they also share their data via this Cargo Controller service to a lot of importers and forwarding companies. And that's a really good service for them, because it combines all kinds of data that they need to follow their cargo, not only from the terminal, but also from the shipping line and from hinterland operators. So they have one service where they can find all their data that they need. All right, so this track and trace information is quite comprehensive already. And we are, together with the hinterland community, exploring to add their data as well, so we can really reach to the hinterland. And one of the, we'll say, key requests we get the last, we'll say, half a year is more insights in footprint and CO2 footprint insights along the supply chain.
The emissions,
actually. Yeah. So, and we are quite good positioned to provide at least basic set of data to calculate the emissions. So this is what, together with the community, we are exploring to provide a general insight per supply chain.
Do you recognize that? Do you get questions about emissions, like what happens exactly when unloading the vessel?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. So within the wider company, and in our case, then Maersk is of course our sister company. We see a lot of customers that are more and more interested in that part and in their emission. And there is a specific product launched as well, which has less emission than the regular product.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that product is done with specific vessels that sail on methanol.
Mm-hmm.
21st of September last year, we had the honor to receive the Laura Maersk. That was the first vessel that came out of the yard running on methanol. So there is a lot of focus on it in the wider supply chain.
And do you see that people are willing to pay more for that, or is it just they want to know where this is at, or how does that work?
No, you see that comes more and more, that there's also a willingness to pay for it. And it's also linked to all of us as mm-hmm. consumers.
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to pay more for that part? And I think within different stores, you already get the opportunity to pay a little more for less CO2 emissions. So the demand is growing.
Yeah. Do you see that? Because you talk to all the members of Portbase.
No, we definitely see that. And that's also the interesting expansion now of the community, is that other types of companies, they come to the community and they request data. to provide insight. But also legislation is a very important push for more sustainability. So the emission reporting legislation, which is now, I think, as from the 1st of January in place, it really gives a push to the demand to get insight in where are my emissions.
Yeah, those two things kind of go hand in hand, the policy makers, but also the demand of consumers are a big push and stimulus for being more aware of the emissions. Cargo goes beyond the port, reaching destinations deep into the hinterland, of course. Does the visibility that the port space provide stop once the goods are picked up at the port? No, you go beyond that point.
Well, at the moment it stops at the port, and when it leaves the port, and this is where we saw the demand also from companies away in the hinterland to get more information about the whereabouts of their goods further along in the supply chain. But there are so many companies there that we are looking to connect with regional partners. Mm-hmm. So there's also smaller port community systems in the European hinterland where we make a connection with. So they can share their data with us. We can share the data that's available here with them. So we don't have to build and connect everybody, but we use partners to get access to the market.
Mara, why is it important for you to share the data? Why does APM believe in it so strongly?
So it's important to enable a smooth process, to enable a smooth process from beginning until the end, until the goods are really at their final destination. If we do not share that data, the process also stops at a certain point or is delayed. So also to keep the process ongoing, we saw that as well during COVID times, right? When goods were simply not picked up. That was not because of not sharing data. But you see that if there is a disturbance in the whole supply chain, the goods are not picked up anymore. If that continues to go well, and I think especially sharing this data helps with this and helps to get it out in time, to get it smooth. So the more data you can share and the more it is used by all supply chain partners, the faster the whole process will go.
Which data then do you share? Because some of it is sensitive. We already talked about that a little bit. And what's the added value of the data that you share?
Yeah, so I think two things, right? So yes, some of the data is sensitive, but it is not sensitive for the party that owns the cargo or that is directly involved in that chain. Mm-hmm. So also that type of data you do want to share, but you want to share with the right party. As Donald also said, the process of checking which party is behind the screen and is pulling the data is very important. We want to share the data, but with the right party.
Yeah, exactly. Because there's so many stakeholders. It just one shipment.
Yeah, I think on average, there was calculations that about 28 companies are involved in the supply chain. On an average supply chain from the Far East.
28.
Yeah, so 28, they touch somehow the cargo or have business with the cargo, either in documentation or in other kinds of facilities. And it's all in different digital maturity levels.
Yeah.
So it could be that the one still uses the stamp while the other is fully automated. Mm. And a port community system also sometimes plays a role to connect, to be a translator or connector to, also facilitate the really small companies, but also the really big companies so that they digitally can talk together and work together.
Yeah. And then what's the added value of that?
So the added value is that the data that everybody needs to optimize their planning is shared very efficiently throughout the supply chain via one standardized platform. So the reach of the data is far bigger. So you reach a lot of companies and that allows you to, optimize your processes quickly. Mm-hmm. Instead of every company for itself, start to digitize, talk a different digital language and try to connect everybody. That's a suboptimal approach. Mm-hmm. So here in Rotterdam, we say, well, let's bundle those generic processes into one company. They digitize it and they connect everybody to it. So with one connection to Portbase, you are currently connected to about 5,000 companies in the supply chain.
Wow. Yeah. And then, of course, that's your job as Rotterdam. You want to sort of facilitate everyone. Do you set conditions for companies whose cargo you're transporting? Like, well, you have to commit to this digital maturity level, or you have to provide us at least with this level of information. Otherwise, we can't handle your shipment.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah, when we started the terminal up 10 years ago, we already said for all hinterland parties, it is mandatory to work via Portbase.
Mm.
As Donald said, they are the translator for us. All of our information that needs to go in the hinterland goes to Portbase, and Portbase ensure that it's spread throughout all the hinterland parties who are in need of this data. And that is really going from when does the vessel arrive, when is the cargo opening time, when is the container itself discharged, when is the vessel leaving again. It's a broad range of timestamps that are shared.
Right. Yeah, it makes sense, because otherwise you cannot guarantee that fluidity that you're exactly. aiming for, and that subtle operation. So all the partners that you work, the shippers in southern Germany, or they can all use the Portbase information, or maybe via partners, like you mentioned.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Can you provide an example of the information that you enable to be shared among your supply chain partners?
Yeah, I think Mara already gave some very interesting examples from a shipping and terminal perspective. What we add to it is custom status information. So is a container scheduled to be checked physically or digitally? And is it released already? So you can actually pick it up. But also bill of lading information, cargo information, how the shipping line declared it at the customs. That information is available for the ones who do the next declaration to the customs. So they reuse the information that's already there.
Yeah. In the introduction, you said how passionate both of you are in continuously evolving and growing and changing. What's next for Portbase?
So I think if we look at, the next topic is that we enable the optimization. So we don't build the optimization of the processes ourselves, but we see a lot of very interesting initiatives. Like in Rotterdam, we have NextLogic that optimizes the planning of the barges in the port. They are connected with one connection to Portbase, so they can have access to all the data, but also to the companies that can make use of their solution. So this is the time where we actually connect with other types of optimizers, and we enable them to do their business in Rotterdam efficiently, but also for data owners that currently share data with Portbase to share their data with all other kinds of companies that they are interested to share it with. So I think that's the next level, what we are doing now, connecting the complete ecosystem within a port to the data.
What are your ambitions or APM's ambitions in the Port of Rotterdam?
Last year we got the approval to expand our terminal. So the coming years we will be doubling in size.
Wow.
That means doubling the capacity of the terminal. That's quite a challenge.
Right. Growth typically comes with challenges. How do you enable exactly. that it doesn't get congested
Exactly. So also in this respect, there is a lot of attention for the systems, for the whole flow, digital flow also behind it, to ensure that once that part doubles as well, we are ready to accommodate it without congestion like we have right now.
Okay, yeah. Well, good luck with that. Finally, maybe, what would your advice be to shippers or freight forwarders that are looking, that understand that we need to share data, we need to really use this data to our advantage? If you're not really doing that yet, how can you, what would your advice be to get started?
I would say start using it, adapt your processes with all the data that is available, and ensure that you do that in a sustainable way.
How do you do that in a sustainable way?
So within our company, we have a standard way of working that comes also with Lean, for example, where you have a standard process of improving certain processes. That means we get together in a room for a week and we look how are the processes mapped right now, what kind of information could we, for example, from a party like Portbase, get to improve that certain process, draft a new process, and then start doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you start with the data, but then you gather it and you talk about it in a room at a table with people. It's not, you're not relying on the systems to improve your flow for you.
Definitely not. And you also don't do it alone. So, for example, last week we had a project like this to improve the idle time after operation. So the time when the operation is finished, but then the vessel is alongside the quay, we would like it to leave as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. So in this process, we were together with the Port of Rotterdam, with the pilots, with the tug companies, with the linesmen, all together to see how can we improve this. But that really requires all parties to be there, to be involved, and to commit.
Can you say anything about the conclusions? How do you do that?
So the conclusion last week was that there is quite a lot to do. There is a big action plan, but then we can achieve an improvement of 22%.
Wow. Okay. Well, that will come in handy when you expand in size.
Definitely.
Yeah, double in size, uh-huh. I should say. Okay. Well, I mean, that's huge that you can still draw 22% improvement out of really like taking the opportunity to reassess, like, how is this flow actually operating and what can we improve on? That's huge. And what would your advice be if you're not already a member of Portbase? Become a member, obviously, of course, and then you'll help them figure it out.
That's the obvious step, yeah. Sure. No, but I really... have the same line as Mara. I think it's so important also not only to discuss rates together, so what did this cost, but how can we optimize the collaboration and what kind of data do you need? So on the negotiation table, don't only talk about the cost, but also talk about the data and the collaboration perspective. Because many times it's forgotten, and then in a later stage it's going to be a topic. Mm-hmm. But it should be really part of the talks with your suppliers and customers. How do you jointly improve your performance?
Yeah, from the start.
I think that's a very important mm-hmm. one. And the other one is our experience. Also, you have to take this step by step based on concrete use cases like the one Mara has. Really make it tangible what the value is that you are creating by sharing this data and optimizing the process.
Exactly, because then in the second instance, you will discover that you're actually cutting costs. Maybe that was not so obvious
exactly.
at the beginning, but in the end, that's actually what happens.
Yeah.
Definitely. And it's a big elephant. You have to cut it in pieces.
Oh, okay.
So start small.
Yeah, start with the trunk.
Yeah, exactly. Start small and then it's also, that makes it a bit easier to make some progress.
Yeah,
celebrate
exactly.
that progress and then continue
and then build
with
on
the
that.
Rest of the elephant.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Yeah. Well, this has been very helpful, very hands-on and tangible for people that are maybe starting to explore this topic or at a different level. Good luck with the expansion next year for APM. Thank you for joining us and good luck sharing your wisdom and advice with all the other parties. Thank you so much, Donald and Mara, for being here with us today. So digitizing really proves to be very important if you want to reduce your footprint and waste, obviously. And it'll be really good to really take in these practical examples and see how Portbase becomes available for the whole hinterland of the port area so that parties can connect and improve in efficiency. In the next episode of Supply Chain Talks, I will be joined by Hapag-Lloyd and Port of Rotterdam Authority.
I think the major challenge that maritime faces, different from other maybe transport sectors, is that there is no single solution. So we cannot say it will be For example, let's say methanol. There will be a range of fuels, and as a port, we're preparing for all these different fuels.
Do you want to know more? Visit portofrotterdam.com/containershipping. Thank you so much for tuning in, and please join us again next time.